Exposing bad ideas.
Are you a tough guy? You want to beat me up? Well, do it. Do it. Go on.
A defender of the truth.
Are you going to question that?
He's your champion.
There is only one man who can handle this job.
This is The Source with Paul Anderson.
An American hero, a prophet for the future.
Call Paul now.
Toll free, 1-800-281-TALK.
And now, bringing context and meaning to confusion, bringing light to darkness, here is Paul Anderson.
William McGuire, are you still out there in Mesquite, Texas? William McGuire. Hey, we got caught up in everything, talking with our guests in the last hour, and we did not mention who the winner of the promotional giveaway, Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture, by Teresa Tomeo. And William, it's you. All right, so we'll get that book out to you. We have your information and everyone else. Remember, if you read good material, if you read good columnists, if you read good articles, if you read good books, take the time. People have poured lots of time and research into these, especially the ones we bring to you, because they're thought out, well-researched. Occasionally, we can be fooled. Let me tell you a story. Once during Thanksgiving, this was years ago, there was a woman who had a book about turkeys, you know, and it was Thanksgiving, and just looked like a good little spot there. We didn't research her, so I said, get her, you know, we'll put her on, you know, we'll do something on Thanksgiving or about Thanksgiving. Well, we get her on, and she's an animal rights activist, and we shouldn't be eating turkeys, and oh my gosh, I thought she was going to tell us different ways to prepare turkey. We were going to talk about traditions of Thanksgiving. Boy, was I blown over. It was like, whoa, wait a second, you're saying we can't eat turkey? So, you know, we try to do our research the majority of the time, but occasionally we don't. But I'm telling you that I'm saying 99% of the time we research and we know, especially if you go to our website, thesource.org, brand new website. We launched it on the memorial of 9/11, very appropriate holiday or a memorial or remembrance to be able to put that in, not a holiday, but just an observance day. And so we launched our brand new face, our brand new look, and it's continuously changing. We're constantly putting new articles. There's new images. We have images related to the articles, which I think is very appealing when you're looking at different things and you're thinking, I wonder what this is about. And we cherry pick these. This is from Paul's pile of papers, my stack of stuff, where you can actually look at different articles that we use as show prep. And so we haven't got to a premium member status where you have to subscribe, pay so much a month, and then you have access to the elite stuff. We have it all out there for you. Also, we have a Get Involved page. Folks, we've made it easy for you, and that thing's growing. We don't have every category there yet. Under the topic of abortion, Right to Life, we haven't picked an organization yet. And some people are saying, why not? Why don't you pick this or that? Because we're doing our homework. We're doing our research so that when you go there and you actually pick a site and you want to know more about the world perspective, about China, Iran, Israel, those are the only three countries we have up there yet. You know that those organizations are solid. You know you can go there and get solid editorials, solid information talking about what's going on in those countries and what the problems are or why we need to support, as in the case of Israel, need to support our ally in the Middle East. So we do that type of solid research, but those aren't the only countries we're going to have there. As we continue and we do our research, we're going to be adding more. This Get Involved links page is to make it easy for you, the traditional American, the average American, the mainstream person out there that's working hard, making a living, the 53 percenters, you know, that Occupy Wall Street and all the craziness out there, and they're saying, oh, we're the 99%, and we're opposed to that 1% of vulgarly rich people. All this corporate America, down with them, down with capitalism. And they're saying they're the 99%. They're not. There's 53% of the people that pay taxes, that are earners and pay taxes. 47% don't. And the 53%ers are the ones I'm talking to. And I'm sure a lot within the 47% as well that are transitional. They're in a transitional period. So I'm talking to you as well. I didn't mean to slam you in any way, but there's some of you that need to be slammed. There's some of you out there that are on the wrong side of the issue, that are ill-informed, ignorant, and some of you are just outright stupid. And so if you want to keep listening, I'm glad you're listening. But I'm talking to the 53%ers and those in the 47% that are actually listening to and are part of the solution, that are average, traditional Americans that believe in American exceptionalism, that believe in the American ideal, that you can be the captain of your destiny, that you can put forth effort, hard work. It's about personal responsibility, and you can actually achieve things in this great nation of ours. That opportunity still exists in spite of the liberal Democrats, the leftists out there that want to move us toward and are pushing so hard and aggressively, moving us toward a socialistic, in the vein of Europe, a European-style socialism, to where we'll move away from capitalism, move away from free enterprise, and move away from the very things that have made America so great, so great. And so I'm talking to you. Go to this website. This is the website, thesource.org, where you can go to get involved, and we're making it easy for you to become an activist. You don't have to quit bathing and stink and smell. You don't have to go live in little bitty tents out on the street. You don't have to trash up a city, a neighborhood. You don't have to attack people, violate the people's rights, and break the law. You don't have to be a criminal. You don't have to do those things. You don't have to drop out, tune in, and or tune out, drop out, tune out, and turn on, like they used to say in the 60s. You don't have to do that. You can still work hard, spend time with your family, and yet we're making it easy for you to sign petitions, for you to donate money, for you to be more informed on an issue. I mean, you can't fight every battlefront. You have to enlist, so to speak, in the areas that move you, that make you passionate about things. And so that's why we have the Get Involved page. And folks, it is growing. We're adding to it. So you can go there, you can pick the category and look at it. And look at what we've laid out for you. All right, so do that. All right, now I want to tell you that tonight we have a very important guest who's been a guest of ours on a regular basis, and his name is David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, which is part of the West Bank. And it is always a pleasure to have David Rubin with us. And David, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Paul. Good to be with you again.
It's nice to have you back. Now, I understand you're not in Israel. You're in America right now.
Yes, yes. I'm currently in Colorado. Colorado, okay. Going back tomorrow.
Going back to Israel tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when are you scheduled to make your tour where you come down through Texas?
That'll be in March.
All right.
Willing.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. Now, you have a very interesting press release that I want to talk about, called Fruits of the Arab Spring. We heard so much from the news media hyping the Arab Spring, the beginning of democracy springing forth like spring flowers. Everything's growing, it's changing. The end of the dictatorial, radical human rights violators, despots over there. And now we've got democracy growing up everywhere. But we're not seeing that. That was a liberal leftist perspective. It was a lie, also promoted by radical Islam. And you're getting the facts out about that, aren't you?
Well, I'm trying to. It's really amazing that the public has been given such a misreading of the situation, such a false report of the situation in the Middle East right now. We were told that there was an amazing Arab Spring, a pro-democracy movement, and that all through the Middle East, we would be inspired, as President Obama said, that we will be inspired by what is going on there. Well, look at what is going on there. Many billion dollars later, the the situation in Libya is such that the constitution, the draft constitution that's being prepared, says that Sharia law, that oppressive, repressive Islamic law, will be the law of the land, that law that represses anybody and oppresses anybody who is not a Muslim. Can I be any clearer than that?
No, in fact, that's exactly what it is.
That is the reality, and that is what the new Libya is becoming. The leader of the transitional government in Libya has announced that very clearly, that Sharia law will be the basis of all law in Libya, and that any law that is in contradiction, any currently existing law that is in contradiction to Sharia law, will be done away with.
All right, now we're going to continue with you, so don't go away. Talking with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's in the United States on a speaking tour. He'll be heading back, you said, next week?
I'll be heading back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Ooh.
Tomorrow, and actually coming back 10 days later. So.
Gee, you're traveling a lot. How's your family?
Busy right now.
How's your family doing?
Thank God. The family is fine.
Good. Very good. All right. At our website, folks, if you'll go to our Get Involved page, you'll also find some suggestions from David Rubin. A news source that's very reliable, talking about what's going on as far as Israel and Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, the settlements. Also, tell about your organization that is the, let me get it right here, the ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
Yes, that is the website for the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, which is the organization that I started after my son and I were wounded in a vicious terrorist attack, and he was then 3 years old at the time, he was shot in the head. And thank God we both survived, we recovered, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy recovery process, and as a result of that recovery process, I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund to ease the trauma of the terror victims in Israel, the terror victim children specifically.
Now, I want to point out so that people who may miss this, retaliation, revenge. I mean, when you're attacked and you're almost you lose your child, your son, because he was shot in the head. But it was a miraculous thing. He survived and he's doing well. And instead of going out and deciding to retaliate with the same type of violence against them and their children, you start something positive.
Yes. Well, we have. Israel does have an army. We do have a military. It's their job to respond to terrorism. It's not the job of an individual. We're not a vigilante country like most countries in the Middle East are. We don't have organized quasi-governmental or non-governmental militias like most countries in the Middle East have. We have a government, an elected government, and we have an army, and it's their job to fight the terrorists. My response to the terrorism was not to go out myself and take revenge, and not to go into a deep depression or just walk around frustrated and angry all the time, but to take that evil and turn it into good. And the good that I turned it into was the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund.
But pronounce Shiloh.
In Israel we call it Shiloh. That's the Hebrew pronunciation.
Well, that's good. And I want people to know that at our website, thesource.org, when you go to the Get Involved page, underneath the World Perspective, go to the Nation of Israel, and you'll find this website that we're talking about, the Shiloh Children, Shiloh IsraelChildren.org?
Yeah, it's just like St. Paul, Minnesota, or Amarillo, Texas, for example. Shiloh, Israel.
All right. Okay.
So, city and
Children's ShilohIsrael.org.
Yep, ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
Okay. All right, now I want to get your perspective on this before we move into the other subjects that was in your press release, Fruits of the Arab Spring, Anti-American Libya and Afghanistan. But Haaretz just put out an article, and this was put out today. But in Riyadh, a Saudi royal offered a $900,000 reward to anyone who captures an Israeli soldier. And that was released Saturday. And Prince Khaled bin Talal, the brother of business tycoon and Fox News co-owner Walid bin Talal, told the Saudi-based broadcaster Al Dalil that the captive would be then be released in exchange for Arabs held in Israeli prison. So they're offering a $900,000 reward for the capture to anyone who captures an Israeli soldier.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? It's this is Saudi Arabia, the purported friend of the United States and purported conservative Islamic country. This is a country that has always had its fingerprints on activities in the United States to spread Islam and to spread Sharia law, that oppressive Islamic law, throughout the United States of America. This is the Saudis' main activity. And Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, for those of your listeners who don't know, is the nephew of King Abdullah, who President Obama bowed down to. And this is someone who is active. This is their point man in the United States of America to spread Islam and at the same time to put a very polite Western face on it.
In other words, the same thing that anyone that's wanting to promote their way of thinking, their ideology, their culture, just like the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, when he came over and he was glamorized by the Beatles and all that, didn't talk about the nasty and filthy aspect of Hinduism, but also just showed this wonderful, peaceful meditation aspect to convert more Westerners. And so they put this Western face on it.
Yes, exactly. Except the problem here is that Prince Al-Walid bin Talal does slip occasionally. He does slip up. This member of the Saudi royal family does slip up occasionally and in English announces things that he shouldn't be announcing because it doesn't put a positive face on Islam. For example, after 9/11, he went and he handed a check for $24 million to Mayor Rudolph Giuliani in New York City. And as he handed him the check, he said, "We expect the United States government to change its policies in the Middle East to make it more balanced in the direction of the Islamic world." And this was immediately after 9/11, when the Saudi Arabian-born terrorists attacked the Twin Towers, attacked the United States of America. And,
yes.
And Giuliani, to his credit, told him to take that check and put it somewhere.
Yeah. And everybody was so pleased with Rudy Giuliani over that, and I still am. I think that was a real show of character, even though he lacks in some areas. That was a real sign of character on his part.
It was a sign of pride. It was a sign of American pride, and that's something that we haven't seen enough of recently, and we need to see more of.
I agree. Now, one other thing to add to this story, Khalid's offer comes days after the prominent Saudi cleric, Awad al-Qarni, but he put a $100,000 bounty on the head of every Israeli soldier.
Yep. Well, to me, it doesn't come as a surprise. These are people who are still living in the Middle Ages. In fact, Islam is still living in the Middle Ages, and they still think that they can use violence to take over the world and to use their oil wealth to take over the world. They're trying to do it. This is what I wrote about in my book, The Islamic Tsunami. It's clear and it's happening.
Yes. All right. Now, when we get back, we'll talk about the billions of dollars, American tax dollars, that have been spent promoting freedom in places like Libya, Egypt, and Afghanistan. And how is that working out for us? We're talking with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and we'll be right back. Our telephone number, 1-800-281-8255, if you want to call, question, or challenge.
Thank you. this happen?
The Goal of the Source with Paul Anderson. Not just what happened, but why it happened.
Contrary to rumor and certain newspaper headlines.
Call toll-free 1-800-281-TALK.
We'll get right on it. Over and out.
Once again, here's Paul Anderson.
Okay, we're talking about what's actually going on in the Middle East, not the hype we're hearing from the news media, the liberal left, the Democrat Party, and our president, Barack Obama, about the Arab Spring and how we have democracy sprouting up all over the Middle East. We're talking about the real facts, the real issues going on there with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. And when we went to break, I was posing the question of, we have spent billions of American tax dollars promoting freedom in Libya, Egypt, and Afghanistan. And how's that working out for us?
Well, not very well. Countries like Afghanistan, you think of how many years the United States has been in Afghanistan, how many soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan, and what is it actually for? The purpose was to bring democracy and freedom to Afghanistan. And this is something that started before Obama. This was already from the Bush administration. And the question was, what came out of it? What came out of all of the taxpayer funds that were spent on it, on all of the soldiers' lives that were lost on it? And the president of Afghanistan, Karzai, recently said that if there was a conflict between the United States and Pakistan, he would be on the side of Pakistan.
I mean, he's pretty straightforward, just blunt like that. How does the State Department, how does Hillary Clinton, how does our president and the administration handle that? What's the damage control on it? And you know, I can give you the answer. They don't say anything. They ignore it, hoping we won't notice.
That's right, and it, as quickly as it made the headlines, it disappeared from the headlines for that reason, because they ignored it. They said they're quietly going to discuss it with him, and they had a quiet discussion with him. But there was afterwards he backtracked a little bit, and that was it. It was the end of it. But
all the money and the blood of our American soldiers, and Karzai is not our ally. He's actually hostile to the United States.
Yeah, well, the question is much bigger, Paul. It's really a question of whether the United States should be in the business of democracy building in the Islamic world. Yes, in general, the United States should be in the business of spreading its values and ideals. But in the Islamic world, it is a losing battle, because the Islamic world is antithetical to democracy and freedom. The Islamic world, Islamic civilization, is not compatible with democracy. Sharia law, which says that every non-Muslim should be wearing a sign showing that he's a non-Muslim, Sharia law, which forbids the building or renovation of any place of worship other than a mosque, that is not something that's compatible with American freedom.
No, and we have been sending millions of dollars over there to help rebuild mosque or refurbish mosque.
And that is just incredible.
It is incredible, and I wonder how many American people realize that. Here we're in such a financial, dire economic times, and we're spending billions over there, and yet giving them millions upon millions of dollars just to refurbish mosque. And they have all this oil money.
Have you heard about what happened in Egypt just a couple of weeks ago where Christians were massacred? And
we've had that article for a while, and we've just pulled it off the website by placing newer articles, but how they're killing Coptic Christians over there.
Aha, but why were they killing those Coptic Christians? Why were those Christians being slaughtered in the streets of Egypt? And I know this from my contacts in Egypt, who are mainly in the Christian world, and what they told me is that the Christians were planning to renovate a mosque, and the Christians were planning to renovate a church, and the rumor spread around wildly through the Islamic through this
community,
mainly Islamic country, that the Christians were going to renovate one of the larger churches. And they went berserk, and there were riots. And because Sharia law says that you cannot renovate a church.
Gee, I want to hear more about that on the other side of the break. Folks, call and ask a question. Call and challenge something you don't agree with. We're talking with former Mayor David Rubin of Shiloh, Israel. And we're talking about what's really going on in the Middle East and this so-called deceptive Arab Spring. We'll be right back. Killing Christians in Egypt. And we were supposed to see, once Hosni Mubarak was gone, democracy and human rights. Killing Christians in Egypt because they dared refurbish a church, rebuild a church. We're talking about that and other issues with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and also the head of and founder of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. You can find that at, children's
ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
.org. Okay. You know what? I read that and then I didn't have it right in front of me and then I stumped my toe.
You're all not right. The first person to get the name confused.
All right. Well, thank you for your kindness. But anyway, let's finish that. So just because they were going to rebuild a church, that's part, you're saying, of Sharia law, that other faiths cannot rebuild their institutes or their buildings of faith, their religious buildings, because somehow that is an insult to Islam, violation of Sharia law. And so not only were they, instead of them saying, you can't do that, you don't have a permit, we're going to fine you, they actually started killing other human beings, Christians.
Yeah, they started rioting in the outside, in the Christian community, in the area where most of the Christians live. And as a result of that, the Christians came out to protest this violation of their rights, that they're not allowed to renovate a church without having wild Muslims going crazy and attacking them. And so what happened? The martial law government in Egypt sent out the police, who were mostly Muslim. And they went out and they attacked the Christians, killing 24 of them, wounding over 100. And this is an ongoing process in Egypt. And I'll also point to Libya, a similar type of example. After it had become clear that the Libyan rebels were going to be taking over, there's a Jew who lives in France, and he went to Libya. He flew to Libya, and he went to the old synagogue in Tripoli, saying that because we have a new Libya and freedom is going to be breaking out, he wants to refurbish, not really refurbish, it was in a total state of disrepair, the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue in Tripoli. It was being used for storing garbage, and it was a big mess. He said he wants to fix it up. So he went in there to the synagogue. Word got out in the Islamic community that a Jew had come back to Libya in order to establish a synagogue in Tripoli. The Muslims came in by the thousands outside that former synagogue to riot, and they told him that if he doesn't leave the country immediately, that he is going to be slaughtered by these Muslims. And the transitional government got involved, and they told him, you had better leave the country. It's out of our hands. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, and the reason there's nothing they can do about it is because they don't want to.
That's exactly correct.
That's exactly right. Well, we just got an email from one of our listeners saying, Paul, when you introduced Mr. Rubin a short time ago, it chilled my heart as I recalled the attack on him and his son. I was thankful that he mentioned the matter at the center he has set up for the children in Shiloh. Give him a mighty Texas hee-yah and welcome him back in a few weeks. Have him on early and let's all talk with him. He's one of God's men. And that's from a listener, Eddie Carroll. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I appreciate those words.
All right, 1-800-281-8255. We go to Joshua, listening to us in Fort Worth, listening to us on K-Sky. You're on with David Rubin.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, Mr. Rubin?
Yes, hi, Joshua.
Hi, I just had a general question about Israeli culture, being from Texas. I went to Israel about 10 years ago with my uncle on a family trip. And it seemed to me that, like, a lot of Israelis didn't like Americans at all. I mean, they seemed, like, really snobby. And I didn't know if that was, like, just an impression I was getting or if there was really some kind of, like, just...
Can I answer that first, David, and then I'll let you follow up?
Sure, go ahead, Paul.
Joshua, I've been there twice. And the Israelis, I was very impressed with. It was the hostility and the anger that came from the Arabs. You know, a lady that was with our group said, Shalom, just trying to be nice. And she got a good reading and then an Arabic cussing, and she was traumatized. But the Israelis are positive people. They're not weak. They can't afford to be. And they were very respectful. The young soldiers took their pictures with us. Everybody was gracious. They were just very positive people. So I never saw any snobbery. I never saw any disrespect. So I don't know what country you were in, really. I'm not really saying it's not true. That's surprising that you, your experience was so totally different from mine. But let me let David respond to that.
Sure.
Well, all that I could say is that Joshua probably got to the wrong places because, for the most part, Americans are very much appreciated and well-liked in Israel. And the...
Going over there, right?
What's that?
You hear a lot of them making fun of Christians for going over there to see the religious.
No, not at all.
But I've heard some of them.
Christians are good friends for the most part. Christians are good friends of Israel, and I'll tell you this: there is an expression describing a native Israeli. It's a sabra. And it comes from the fruit, the sabra, which is prickly on the outside and very soft on the inside. And sometimes you just have to break through that shell a little bit because the Israelis do love to talk to Americans.
You know, it's probably a generational thing. Maybe it's like the younger ones. They're more cynical.
Could be.
And I agree with one aspect you're saying, Joshua. They're not shy about sharing their opinion. They're very bold about talking what they believe in, but very respectful. So, Joshua, thank you for the call and the challenge. We appreciate it. We're talking with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, talking about the truth of what's going on over in the Middle East. No Arab Spring whatsoever. And David Rubin says that the Arab Spring is the greatest Islamic deception since the creation of the Palestinian people. We'll find out why when we get back. Talking about the so-called Arab Spring that has never materialized, which was a lot of hype and a lot of distortions and lies that we got from the news media, the liberal left, and the Obama White House. We're talking about that with former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, David Rubin. And the question I posed before we went to break was, you call it the greatest Islamic deception since the creation of the Palestinian people. Explain.
Well, the Palestinian people... is a creation. It's not something that has ever really existed. In fact, when the so-called Palestinians speak among themselves quietly, when they speak to Jews, they will confide in us to the Israelis that of course there is no Palestinian people. The people is the Arab Muslim people. And they exist in many nations, They consider themselves to be one people, one and the same. The Palestinian people were created in 1964 as an Arab response to the fact that they could not destroy Israel. They were not succeeding in destroying Israel. They said, let's create this Palestinian people here, those who live in the land of Israel. And that is the reality. It's the greatest hoax in the world.
And it's actually used by the Arab people that shows the callous, cold-heartedness that they will not absorb the refugees into the other Arab nations. They keep them in a poverty state to use them as a propaganda tool for the UN and those bleeding heart liberals and leftists worldwide to say, look how horrible the Israelis are. Look at what they've done in the refugee problem.
The reality is that in 1948, when the State of Israel was reestablished, there were many hundreds of thousands of Jews who were driven out of Arab lands. The Muslim countries throughout the Middle East expelled all the Jews who lived there. Israel welcomed them in with open arms. And the Muslims, the Arabs, who were either driven out or in war or who fled from Israel, they were not welcomed into their own countries. They weren't welcomed into the Arab countries that they had come from. And that is the reality that people do not speak about.
I agree with that. Now, let me shift real quick, just in the seconds we have left, the statement by the new leader of Libya saying the interim leader that they're going to implement a Sharia law. And that's what we're seeing in these countries, more of a movement toward radical Islam.
Yep, that's the direction it's going in. And don't let anyone in the media tell you that it is not so. It is so. All you have to do is look at what they say and then follow what they do.
All right, give your websites again so people can access it.
Yes, to get my book, The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama, you can just go to Amazon.com or you can go to the website IslamicTsunami.com.
All right, we're out of time. I'm sorry. Thank you very much, David. We'll be back next week. Good night. God bless.